from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Rob Bradford joins the show at 4:20. The birthday boy Bradfo trying to, I don't know if he's going to try and even put a positive spin on this. Last time we saw him, he would not quite jump into the it's over pool, but he had his toes in the water, you know, like he was right there.
Cannonball.
I think it's time to cannonball into that. I've been cannonballing into that for a couple of weeks now, and I'm looking more and more right with each passing game. By the way, the Red Sox lineup for tonight is out. It's not great, but I'll give it to you anyway here. Rob Refsnyder leading off. They're going against the lefty tonight. David Peterson, who has been fantastic for the Mets this year.
Lineup is out.
Yeah, thank you very much there. 8-1 with a 2.83 ERA. Here's your Red Sox lineup against the lefty. Rob Refsnyder leading off. Jaron Duran batting second. Then Tyler O'Neill. Rafael Devers batting cleanup. Romy Gonzalez playing first base. Tristan Cassis out of the lineup tonight. Masataka Yoshida DHing. Danny Jansen catching. Sedan Rafaela. And Nick Sogard is your number nine hitter behind Cutter Crawford, who's getting the start for the Red Sox. I was thinking about something I was reading over the weekend, which is that if you're a team that had a good first half, but you're a thin roster, you know, like you don't have a lot of depth. You don't have a ton of depth in your pitching rotation. You're a couple injuries away from really having to mix and match and, you know, put a lineup like the one I just read to you out there.
I was going to say, so you're describing the Red Sox.
To a T, I'm describing the Red Sox. The second half of the season, and the reason why they keep having such trouble in the second half of the season, is because a baseball season so long, it exposes rosters like that. Yeah. And the Red Sox have had that kind of roster for a few years in a row now. 2018, obviously, was the best roster in the history of the Boston Red Sox, which is a history that goes back a ways. But since then, their lack of depth, their lack of top-end talent, and really their inability to recover when there's big-time injuries, which in the first half they were better at, right? Like, when guys went down with injuries in the first half, they were able to sort of tape it together and keep on moving and keep going forward and stick around 500 before they went on their big hot streak in the middle of June. Since then, though, it's been really just a matter of who's injured, how long are they going to be out for, do they have any way of replacing them? No, they don't. Okay, well, just go out there and do your best. And their best in the second half just hasn't been good enough. And I think that when you have a roster that's thin like this, you're getting exposed in the second half, and they did nothing really to prevent that.
And this is why I pushed back against your former Dark Lord co-host, who was strangely optimistic midseason about the Red Sox making the playoffs. And I was like, who do you count on? Do you feel like you're going to have Tanner Houck be an ace with a 2.25 ERA all year? Like, baseball is the ultimate marathon, not a sprint, and you need to figure out who the guy who can make it, not only make it 26 miles, but keep up a certain pace for 26 miles, right? Like, they didn't have a lot of known commodities on this roster. You know, Jaron Duran, I give him credit for the most part, has played at a high level. And beyond that, you know, Yoshida has been probably better than most expected at times this year. But the issue is some of the depth guys are now hurt. Like, David Hamilton was a nice addition, right? Mm-hmm. You know, even last time we talked to Corey, he's like, well, we didn't really expect him to be here. And that kind of changes the lineup and how we play and he steals bases. Well, now he's out of action. You have Sogard and you have like these. It's so much
Von
mixing
Grissom
and matching.
Barely played at all. Yeah.
Right. Like, you don't roll out, you know, a lot of teams, if you're a good team, most teams go through this at some point. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I have my five guys, and now it's the other four that I'm kind of figuring out, moving pieces, guys in and out, platooning. Feels like they're almost like, well, I got my 2.5 guys, and then it's like 6.5 or 7 guys that are a work in progress. And that's why I keep bringing up the example of the Patriots wide receiving core. I think the Patriots wide receiving core would be so much better with a number one receiver, allowing everybody else to sort of fall into place. I think the Red Sox would be so much better with, like, one right-handed bat and one ace pitcher. Like, those two things, to me, make everybody else's job easier, more comfortable, more reliable. Like, but that's, you know, those are two pretty big absences on this team.
Yeah, and clearly...
And they didn't do it.
Clearly too big of an ask.
James Paxton and Danny Jansen are not the answer to that problem, Andy. You're not getting an ace and a freaking right-handed bat.
Yeah,
and... I mean, he's a right-handed bat, but he's not what I'm looking for.
Did Cora said something about Jansen last night. He was like, yeah, you know, he's really got to step it up here.
Whoa. He's Danny Jansen.
I know.
Like, step it up here is what you say to... the guy who's underachieving. Like, even Tristan
Casas. Played in one game for two teams, for crying out loud.
I know. He sure did.
He kind of did.
I mean, kind of did.
Yeah, it was kind of fake.
He was the only one to ever do that. I don't know if he knew that.
I was more interested in that when I first heard about it. I started reading. I'm like, wait a minute. Is he gonna wear a uniform for the Blue Jays and then wear a uniform for the Red Sox? And then mm-hmm. I realized it was just a technicality based on the way things... It wasn't as cool as that.
They asked about the offensive production not being there for Jansen, who has logged a .204 batting average with 5 RBIs and 2 extra base hits through 19 games with the Red Sox. Not exactly the right-handed power bat I think we were all hoping for.
And he's the best acquisition because all the others are hurt.
Yeah, it's true. He's the only one that's still
standing. But yeah. Is he? Is he really?
I mean, he's standing in the batter's box. He's not doing much once he gets there. Cora was asked about this and said he's mishitting balls, which, if you read that, if you read that word out, it's looks like something else. He's mishitting balls, not finishing at bats. It's part of the grind. Right now, we're grinding as an offense. Jaron is the only one that's consistent along with Abreu. But besides that, right now as an offense, we are not doing those things. This Labor Day weekend for the Red Sox, offensively, was about as bad as I've ever seen. One run in each of their last three games, all of them losses. And still somehow only 4.5 games back in the wild card. It seems worse. It seems worse than what it is. And while I know that there's still mathematically it's possible for them to climb back into this thing, if they're not going to be able to take advantage when the Royals are in a 6-game free fall, when the Royals start, you know, picking themselves up and winning games again, then what? Then it's over. This was your opportunity. This was your real chance to do something. And I feel like the Red Sox just completely squandered it. And, you know, there was... Bradford said this, and Alex Cora said it too, in talking about, you know, the Red Sox and how they were able to be so resilient all year. It's because they're so young, they don't know what they don't know. They're just a team that's going out there and playing, and they don't really have that sort of stuff weighing on them. Well, that's all well and good in the beginning of the year. At this time of year, when you're 4.5 games out, and you're really trying to get back into this thing, these games count more than those games do. I'm sorry, they just do. It's more important. Like, you're down to the wire right now. Your season's riding on all of this, and all of these young guys who, and I have a thing about that too, all these young guys who don't know any better are just going out there and playing their game. Well, you have to step it up a little bit. You have to be a little bit more. You can't give it bats away. You can't be out there not knowing where the ball's going if you're the starting pitcher. And I always sort of had an issue with that anyway, because the whole idea that this team is full of these young players, like, even their young players aren't that. Jaron Duran's not a young player. You know, Tanner Houck's not really a young player. Those guys are 27, 28 years old.
But experience-wise,
sure. But they're not, you know, they're not like 22. It's not like this is their first go-around in the big league. Like, these guys have been around a while in the minor league, sure, and they're getting their call-up and getting their chance now. But 26, 27, 20 is the prime of your career. You know, statistically in baseball, that's when you're hitting your prime. That's not when you're a young, naive rookie who doesn't know what's going on. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. there's something to be said for that.
No, I agree with you in one sense, but it's also, I think part of it was him just at sometimes messaging. You know, we use that word, like, reminding everybody, I got a really young team. I don't really have a lot of stalwarts or tent poles to build this team around. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, so easy with the expectations. And now he's calling it Wasted Days, which I don't play this game because I'm not a musical guy, but that sounds like a band name. No, right? Wasted Days.
Wasted Days. Yeah, it does sort of sound like a early 2000s, like ska
yes.
band or something. You know?
Or, and I'm just
spitballing.
They had a sound
like the Tony Hawk soundtrack.
Just spitballing here, Netflix. It also could be the name of your documentary. Wasted Days, the 2024
Seriously.
Boston Red Sox. I don't know how much you buy into the numbers, because I don't. Ever since ESPN told me that
Well, it depends what numbers. If they suit my argument, right, then I buy into the whole argument.
See, I ignore all of them because ESPN once told me the Celtics had a 99.99% chance to beat the Heat in that Eastern Conference Finals, and the Heat kicked the crap out of them. So 99.9%. Yeah, I know there was that 1%, but it looked like there was more than 1% chance they were going to win.
Sure.
What do you think the percentage of the Red Sox making the playoffs is right now? Or I'll just tell you. Let me just tell you that one. It's easy. 13.6.
13%. All right.
What do you, given that as your sort of bar or your reference point, what do you think the Kansas City Royals is?
30%?
79.1%.
79.1%.
They have basically an 80% chance to make the playoffs.
Well, yeah, right? They're like 4.5. Yeah, okay, yeah. So that makes sense.
So you've been sort of belaboring the point that they're struggling, but it still doesn't matter. They're still ahead. They still have a pretty sizable lead with whatever it is, 24 games to play. And those numbers, if you choose to believe in them, show you just how unlikely it is. For example, I was talking about the Tigers sort of nipping at your heels
right
now. The Tigers have a 7% chance to make the playoffs.
Okay.
So they're like, they're much closer to you than you are the Royals, I guess, would
be
my point.
No question about it. I'd agree with that. Just back to the age thing for a second here. I was just looking this up just to see if I wasn't completely talking out of my ass just now.
Shouldn't you invert that order and look it up and then
avoid talking out of your ass? I should do a lot of things, but it turns out I was right anyway.
I was actually told by somebody when it was announced that you and I would be doing this show to call Arcand on his crap because he's usually wrong.
Okay. Fair enough. It was mean of Adam Jones to say that to you, but it's not, you know, at least he's trying to give you some constructive criticism there. Connor Wong is 28. Rafael Devers is 27. Tyler O'Neill is 29. Durant's 27. Yoshida's 30 years old. Willy Abreu, Sadan Rafaela, and Emmanuel Valdez are the only regular, interesting casts, I should say, that are 25 or younger. And in the pitching staff, it's even less. In your pitching staff, it's even less than that. Tanner Houck, 28. Cutter Crawford's 28. Pavetta's 31. Chris Wells, 27. Brian Bayo's 25. He's the youngest guy in the rotation. And also in the bullpen, Jansen, 36. Zach Kelly, 29. Bernardino, 32. Weissert, 29. Slayton's 26. Chris Martin's 38. Like, it's not really that young of a team is the point here.
Same old Sox.
Kind of, yeah. You know, you don't. And listen, there's going to be this wave of young players coming into the league next year and joining the team next season, hopefully. I mean, we'll see if that actually comes to fruition and how these guys look and what they look like as major leaguers. But right now, you don't have this very young, naive, innocent team. You have a team full of guys in their primes that are just running out of gas. I mean, that's really what this is. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Joe Braverman's going to get you caught up on what's trending, and then we'll be joined by Rob Bradford.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trade Now is brought to you by the 99. The Red Sox fell in their series opener to the Mets last night, 4-1. Sox have lost 4 out of 5. They sit 4.5 games out of a playoff spot, and they'll try to rebound in game 2 of the 3-game series tonight. You can hear Will Fleming and Lou Maloney on the call from Citi Field at 7:10 on the Shaw's at Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Cutter Crawford will get the start for the Sox opposite David Peterson for the Mets. Cooper Boardman will get everything started with the Mass Mutual pregame show at 6:10. Mass Mutual Insurance Planning Investments. Players got the day off today at Patriots practice as they gear for their season opener this Sunday against the Bengals. Some notes from earlier in the week at Pat's practice. O-lineman Vidarian Lowe and City So were out. Staying in football in New England, Boston College pulled off the upset over 10th-ranked Florida State, 28-13 in Bill O'Brien's first game as head coach. BC rushed for 269 yards and held the Seminoles to 3-14 on third down. The Eagles will play in their home opener at Alumni Stadium this Saturday against Duquesne. That is scheduled for a 3:30 kickoff. Some other football news. Trent Williams is ending his holdout as he and the 49ers are finalizing a new deal that will see the left tackle play in San Fran's season opener against the Jets this Monday night. Bruins had captain's practice today. Jeremy Swayman was among those who participated. Swayman's still in the middle of negotiations for a contract extension. Training camp for the Bees starts on September 18th. And staying in the NHL, Oilers and forward Leon Draisaitl have agreed to an 8-year, $112 million extension. The $14 million AAV makes him the highest paid player in league history. You gotta try the 99 Restaurant's new $14.99 Big Deal Meals. 4 hearty, full-size entrees for just $14.99 every Monday through Wednesday, like the roasted turkey dinner or the juicy chopped sirloin. You gotta love the nines. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
More of Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
This mindset might help Rafi, that there are two in scoring position. He might think about just getting it anywhere out there. 2-1. They lead at second and third. The pitch. Swing and a soft ground ball on the right side. Coming in is McNeil. He gloves. He throws to first. Inning is over. Rafi just not himself at all.
We know where he's at, so you know he's grinding, you know, and you know he's not, he hasn't been able to drive the ball to left center, you know. Even the line drive to center today, he hit it, but not as hard as he usually does, you know. The kid is grinding, you know, and he wants to play, and we're gonna keep playing.
Alex Cora resisting the urge to bench Rafael Devers. He's in the lineup again today. He's been brutal. I mean, he was brutal in August. He's off to a brutal start here in September. You just heard Will Fleming's voice drop in the... That was very Castiglione-esque, wasn't it?
First thing I thought of.
Yeah.
That was very Joe Castiglione.
Because he
had
right
the hope.
There. Oh,
he
yeah.
built up the hope. He had the hope. And then
the air just... Can we just play that clip one more? Just play the cut, because you can hear him. There's runners in scoring position.
Yep.
They need offense like you wouldn't believe. Devers is up with two outs. Just listen to the life come out of his voice.
This mindset might help Rafi, that
so
there
hopeful.
Are two in scoring position. He
it might
think about just getting it anywhere.
Out there.
2-1. They lead at second and third. The pitch. Swing and a soft ground ball on the right side. Coming in is McNeil. He gloves. He throws to first. Inning is over.
Inning's
Rafi
over,
just
yeah, right
not
there.
Himself.
That part at the end, inning is over.
Yep.
That was very... He's been sitting next to Joe for a while. He's starting to pick up some of his mannerisms for sure there. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. And joining us right now on our hotline is Rob Bradford, who's presented by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil, including BioHeat, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. Mr. Bradford, how are we doing today?
It would have been great if you punctuated that call just by yelling McFarland just to get things back on the track. But I had heard you guys said, like, we are on the same page. When I heard that clip, I'm like, that's Joe Castiglione.
Mm-hmm.
That is so Joe. Absolutely. So, and by the way, Joe Braverman, come on, with a rejoiner, you got to do Wake Me Up When September Ends by Green Day. Come on, that's where we're at.
These
right
two
now.
Guys specifically called for Wasted Days.
That's true.
They said there was a song called, or they didn't say it, but they said that it sounded like a band.
That's what Alex Cora called these, Wasted Days for the Red Sox, and he's not wrong.
No, he's not. By the way, today's not a wasted day, because 55 years ago today, a very special little boy was brought into this world, and that's Rob Bradford. Happy birthday, Rob.
Happy birthday, Bradford.
Happy to you, my friend. And here's to many more, sir.
I tell you what, you know, as we all know, the birthdays get increasingly depressing, but when your birthday gift is actually looking for what you can get, what kind of discounts you can get on hotels and Denny's and all these things because you turn 55, you know, wait for it, guys. Wait for it. It's really, really depressing.
Take full advantage. I'm not going to be depressed at all. I'm a cheapskate, so if I get free whatever, fries with my burger, if I get a discount movie, is there really parking better for 50? And you can go live in a 55-plus community.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, and you're right. I mean, I haven't been able to partake in any of that yet, but I will soon. I look forward to leaving New York and getting all reap all the benefits of the parking and the hotels and the AARP discounts and all of that. But for the time being, I just it was the one constant, as they said, and James Earl Jones said is baseball. That's what we have. It's baseball.
And another consistent thing is the Red Sox in August completely melting down. It's happening again. It already did happen. And September's not looking too much better here, Brad Foe. What happened to this offense? Where did it go?
Well, I think you guys played part of the problem out of the gate, which is Devers, Devers not being Devers. I mean, this was such an enormous part of the entire deal. And, he's clearly not himself. I mean, it wasn't that long ago he was on fire. And we're saying, oh, there you go. There's Rafael Devers. And when you have him going, and if you had Yoshida and him going at the same time, and you don't, another guy you don't have consistently is Tyler O'Neill, who, when he's played, he's been good. But the problem is he hasn't played enough. So it's just like all across the board. And then I think there is an element of you have younger guys, and you're getting to the time in the season where they've said this, for the last month. This is a new world for them. And unfortunately, that's their lot in life, and you have to pick it up. And I think what it comes back to is when we look at what happened with this team, how could it have been different? And I think that it is fair to look at back at the trade deadline and say, all right, you know what? You made some moves, but were they aggressive enough moves? And I don't think they were.
Is there any point to Rafael Devers playing right now, given that he appears to be a shell of himself and he's dealing with these two shoulder injuries, and maybe best thing for the team and him long-term would be to shut it down?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's if they felt like this was going to be long-term, I bet he wouldn't be playing. But I do think that as dire as it seems right now, you still have a little glimmer. And if he's saying, I can function, then you're going to play him. I mean, 4.5 back, you still have the team in front of you. You're going to play them. You have the gift that keeps on giving, the Chicago White Sox over the weekend. If they could ever find a way to take two of these games in New York, the narrative can shift in a hurry, but there's no signs of that happening. That's the problem. So to answer your question, I think that if it was one of these situations where it was going to be detrimental going forward, they simply wouldn't play him. That's their MO.
We know that the offense going in the tank is not necessarily something you can fault Alex Cora for. You can fault him for taking out a starter in the middle of a perfect game. I know that was the plan, Brad Foe, but how do you explain that one, looking back on it now with a little bit of hindsight? The offense didn't score many runs for him, but lifting a guy in the middle of a perfect game seems like the type of sticking to a plan that Alex Cora is not really known for. Like, I always considered him a guy that had more of a feel for a game than that, and instead he just goes right for it and brings in Rich Hill. Looking back on it now, yeah. How do you sort of square that up?
I hated that. I hated it for a couple different reasons. Number one, because I couldn't believe they were bringing in Rich Hill, because nothing against Rich Hill, but the guy was throwing the little leaguers literally, not too long ago, and he had looked really good, but even though he had only pitched 10 pitches the day before, it's still back-to-back days. So if you had a guy that maybe was more equipped to do that, then all right, that would make it maybe a little bit more plausible. But the problem is, guys, is that we've seen this before. It's just the day and age of baseball. An out scorer is usually pretty good at going with his gut. But in this case, when you're looking at it and you say, okay, we're going to get to this part, and this is how it's going to work out, and this is where we're going to bring in the lefty, I'm just such a not. If this is an old man yelling at, this isn't 55-year-old man yelling at clouds. I can say that for the first time ever. This is an old man yelling at clouds. This is, we do not value the human element of a guy is cruising, so let him cruise. And we've seen it in the playoffs. There's been plenty of examples. But when a guy is in Cooper Criswell is pitching a perfect game, that is the epitome of a guy cruising.
I know Cooper Criswell, and I brought this up with Arcane yesterday, is sort of a four-inning pitcher. It's kind of what he's been. I know earlier in July he had some outings that went seven, but for the most part of late, that's kind of the range he's been in. But what was his reaction? Because if I'm Cooper Criswell, it's almost like an extreme vote of no confidence. Like, you're pitching really well. You're mowing them down. You haven't thrown a lot of pitches, and we're still going to pull you. Do guys take that as like a shot against their ability and the confidence or lack thereof from their manager?
Well, listen, I mean, you know how it is. If a guy, no matter who you are and what your expectations are, if you're pitching a perfect game, you're never going to want to come out, especially with a pitch count. I mean, that's just how it is. So and so I would imagine he was very happy about it. But at the same time, it's sort of like Cooper Criswell is here and he's sort of, all right, whatever you need sort of guy. I mean, there was an instance early in the year where Cooper Criswell had a bunch of good starts. And then they decided to not start him, but use an opener and have him come in. And it backfired. And they can say, well, we had the pocket at the beginning of the game. No. You guys get in routines, guys get in mindsets, and guys have confidence in doing certain things. And Cooper Criswell back then was confident in starting. That was a wrong move then. And this was a wrong move now because Cooper Criswell not only had confidence, but he also, yeah, it was four innings, but it wasn't a lot of pitches.
Alex Cora, Brad Foe, I feel like got a lot of credit for the Red Sox hot streak from June all the way until the All-Star break, basically. How much credit, or I guess, you know, the opposite of credit, do you give him for the collapse we're seeing right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I would give him more credit the first go-around when they were in it, because I go back to when they came out of the All-Star game, they were not equipped. I mean, their bullpen was not equipped to function. They were taking on water. They finally went out and got guys, and they weren't the right guys. So he's bringing in the guys that, you know, they're supposed to be good. Lucas Sims and Luis Garcia, they're supposed to pitch in the eighth inning, and they weren't getting the job done. That's what he was supposed to do. So I think there is an element of you're working with what you have in this situation, but at the same time, it's like, you know, you get to this point. This is a results business. You had another bad August, and now you're trending in the wrong direction. This could turn. I mean, it turned certainly in 2021. I think they went 17-11 in September. That's the blueprint, as I wrote the other day. That's the blueprint. But for a team that hasn't won three games in a row since July 6th, you know, to expect that they're going to go on these seven-game win streaks, right now I don't think that's realistic.
Rob, at the time he made all the moves, do you think Craig Breslow had full faith that they were all going to work? Or was there an angle of almost a PR marketing plan? Because it was almost like they checked off all the boxes people wanted. Ooh, right-handed bat. Give me some relievers. Give me a starting pitcher. And now we look back at him and we're like, probably not surprising they didn't work. They didn't really acquire anybody at a high level at any of the needs. So, you know, was he all in on his moves? Or was he like, well, I'm giving the masses what they want, and this will get me through the end of the year?
It's funny. It's a good point. I think that he was all in the moves in the sense that they thought they could get by spending in the bargain basement. And, like, people will say, well, look, Lucas Sims and Luis Garcia, they pitched in the eighth inning, and look at how much you got. Well, you gave up a lot of players, but you didn't give up really, like, premium players. So I think that what this deadline has shown is that the teams that have gotten good production from the guys that got, they paid something for them. You got what you paid for. You go down the list, Kopech and Puck and you know, the guys, the two relievers from San Diego, these guys, they paid for what they got for. And so I think that why they didn't middle it, you know, like they did before. Oh, thanks, my friend. There you go. The manager yelling at my happy birthday.
Oh, very nice.
Thank you. But it was why they didn't middle it like they did before, like saying, well, we're not going to buy or is it going to sell. They did sort of middle it in the sense that they didn't allocate the kind of resources you would if you were truly going for it.
Right.
All right. Well, that's fair. We were just having a discussion about the relative inexperience of this team and how early on, Brad Foe, it seemed like that was almost a nice perk. You know, this team is so young and inexperienced. They don't really know what they don't know. They're just going out there and playing. And isn't this great? Mm. Now, here we are in August. Things are falling apart. And if you look at, I mean, this team's not really that young. Even their young players are like 27, 28 years old. You know, Tanner Houck's 28, Durant's 27. There's not a lot of guys 25 and under on the roster really anywhere. You're expecting that to be the case next year with these younger players coming up from Worcester. And I just sort of wonder, like, when you talk about the inexperience, isn't that going to make it almost worse? Like, where do you get experience from if you're not getting it from these guys?
Yeah, well, I think it's two things, right? I mean, I think number one, I say, yeah, you're absolutely right about the age thing, but it's the experience. It's, as we said this before, they just haven't gone through this. But it's fair. It's like you have a guy in Jaren Duran who's 28 years old, and I think tomorrow or 2 days from now. So you have guys who are older. But it's an experience thing. So But I think the lesson to take away here for this team is that, yeah, you're going to have Christian Campbell come up and you're going to have Roman Anthony come up, but you really need to pay for some certainty. Like, you really need to pay for the guys who are going to get you through the season. And you know, they did it, honestly, in the bullpen with Kenley Jansen and Chris Martin, and it really saved them. I mean, they would have been tremendously worse without those guys. But they paid for that certainty in the veteran presence, and I think that's something that they really have to take a hard look at in terms of allocating significant resources to getting that guy or those guys.
So last time you were on with us last week, you weren't quite ready to say it was over, and things haven't been great since. So I'm just wondering, do you think it's over?
I'm not going to say it's over, but it's, boy, this is the closest I've felt. This is the closest I've felt. And it's one of these things where, because Andy, I think that, you know, covering the baseball season, it's the overreact, and we've been burned on it so many times this year already, but it's so easy to say this is it. Fork in the road, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But this does feel that way. And because once you, as Alex Cora said yesterday, I mean, you're running out of games. You're running out of games. You're running, not only running out of games, but you're running out of opportunities. That's the biggest thing. And that's the thing that really, like, is should be frustrating for this team, because, A, you've had opportunities to make up ground because the teams in front of you aren't playing that well. You're very, very fortunate to be where you are in the standings. And, B, as I've said along, this season, more than any, if you did get the best version of what you have, which is what you had earlier in the year, you could absolutely do damage in the playoffs. But neither one of those things are lining up right now. So, yeah, I mean, if this feels more than ever, like more so than in Houston, more so than any of the other times that we are at, what's today, Fork in the Road Tuesday.
All right, before we let you go here, Brad Foe, and again, happy birthday. If the Red Sox had not extended an offer to Alex Cora at the time that they did back in July, I guess it was, in the second half, right after, it was sort of in the middle of their collapse, honestly. But they had just had that big, long stretch of playing well, and it seemed like things were going to be different from last year. If they had waited until, like, I don't know, now, and were considering doing this, do you think that the extension still would have been offered if the team knew that this is how the second half of the year was going to go?
Yeah, I think it's a fair question, but I think the answer is still yes. And because I don't think, to come back to your question you had a little bit ago, like how much is this to blame on him? Like, I think sort of the foundation of what he is what Craig Breslow liked. And yeah, it was working out really, really well, and all the buttons were being pushed the right way. But I think Breslow is smart enough to not be that reactionary to it. As much as everyone was reactionary to it because they were playing really well and he was doing a lot of different things. But I think that even now, I think that he's sort of identified, like, going forward, he's the guy to be the manager for Roman Anthony, for Christian Campbell, for Marcelo Meyer, Kyle Thiel, and those guys too.
You're our eyes and ears in the clubhouse, and, you know, we had the weird stuff last week with the no batting practice, stay with your families, everybody's pressing.
Right.
It kind of worked for a very, very short moment. What is the emotional level or mindset in that clubhouse right now?
I think that they know the situation more than ever. They know the situation more than ever. And it's, the thing is that it's not like, hey, where they feel like, I don't think they feel like, okay, you know what, we'll get them tomorrow. They know what they're up against, because not only because of what they're up against in the standings and running out of games, but up against because of things like Devers, things like David Hamilton, who was like a key guy going forward, things up against because, you know, you have some pitchers running on fumes. I mean, they're not blind to this. So I do think that, like, if they could, like I said before, if they could ever find a way to come out with these two games and then take care of business against the White Sox, then that clubhouse would look dramatically different. But, you know, Andy, you've been around enough locker rooms where you know, like, where it's just, the reality is reality.
Yep.
And it's a lot, put it this way, it's a lot harder for the Red Sox to come in the clubhouse today than it is the New York Mets, who was dancing into OMG by Jose Iglesias, you know? Like, they got a spring in their step.
All right, we'll leave it right there then. Rob Bradford, our boots on the ground out there at Citi Field in Queens. Happy birthday again to you, sir, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
All All right, guys. I'll talk to you later. See you.
All right. That is the great Rob Bradford, brought to you by McFarland Energy. And, of course, baseball isn't boring, and everything else that he's involved
the
with.
The entire empire.
Well. That's it's a big empire he's sitting on top
we
of.
We also had
right
a cameo
there.
From the manager.
That's true. Heard
Happy
him
birthday.
In the background. We will be talking to the manager tomorrow. I don't know if he's been listening to the show the last couple of days. Probably not super happy with me, if he has been, or you either, for that matter.
He wasn't happy with you since you called him skipper.
That's
so
true.
You got off to a really bad start, and since then you've asked if there was buyer's remorse. You've asked if they would have extended the offer if it mm-hmm. hadn't been extended earlier.
I probably won't ask him that.
Meow.
Feel like that's, you know, not a question he's going to want to answer, but we will talk tomorrow. You can ask it to him if you want to. They're a tough guy.
No.
But okay, so there you go. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. By the way, FanDuel's got something special for our listeners. Be sure to check out FanDuel's Profit Boost in the app and use it for FanDuel's Double Your Winnings for all Sunday, September 8th pregame moneyline bets. Profit Boost will be live starting Friday, September 6th. View your account page now to learn more about your boost. And speaking about things you should be learning about, we just heard, I didn't hear this. Zach was telling me about it on Spit and Chicklets, that there is some news on the offer and the stalemate that the Bruins are at with Jeremy Swayman, and these numbers shocked me. We'll tell you what they are next. Brian Whitney, Spittin' Chicklets. Shout out to Rear Admiral. Shout out to Mike Grinnell. Big fan of both of those dudes and that entire podcast. Really, I don't listen to a lot of podcasts. I do listen to that one, and I do enjoy it a lot. That news, if that's accurate, we had Scoops Keefe saying that Swayman was looking for $10 million per, right? That was his number, $10 million per?
Yeah.
The Bruins are offering 6.2.
Mm. 4 years.
6.2 over 4 years. Swayman, according to Whitney there, number down a little bit from what Scoops Keefe was told, 9.5 over 8. And those are the type of... You ever watch that show Pawn Stars?
Not really.
Do you know of it?
Yeah.
Okay. So for those who aren't aware, it's the show about this family that owns a pawn shop in Las Vegas, and people come in with all this crap and they try and, get the best price for it. And the guy, Rick Harrison, he's the main guy, he's the bald guy, always lowballs him every single time. I'll give you this. The best I can do is this. I got to make some money off it. It's a business. It's a pawn shop. Blah, 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 blah. I got it. Best I can do is, the guy wants $1 million. Best I can do is like 250. Hmm. Is usually how that goes. And what often happens is the person, the guy or the girl, whatever, comes in trying to sell the thing, says, I'm sorry, we're just too far apart. I'm going to take my ball and go home. And that's where we are right now with this negotiation. This season, the preseason starts in 19 days. The first preseason Bruins game is September 22nd. That is less than 3 weeks away. And that's how far apart they are? 9.5 over 8 to 6.2 over 4? First of all, do you find that 6-2 number insulting? I mean, I do. If I'm Jeremy Swayman, I 100% find that to be an insulting offer.
Well, I think the combination of the number and the term, the low term and the low number,
yeah,
you might be able to sell me at, okay, we'll meet you one or the other, right? A higher number over a shorter term
mm-hmm.
or full term, but we don't see you in that number. But to go low on both is probably insulting, although I believe Swayman is maybe overinflating his value.
Maybe. He might be.
Or at least his view of his own value.
Certainly the Bruins think that. I'd agree with you there. Vasilevsky's making 10. Hellebuck's making 10. Sorokin's making 8.25. Carey Price, 7.5. Jordan Binnington, 7.5. Grubauer, 6.8. Shesterkin, 6.66. Bobrovsky, 6.5. You got to go all the way down to John Gibson in Anaheim to get to 6.4. Tristan Jarry, 6.4. Darcy Kemper, $6 million. And same with Markstrom, Thatcher Demko, those type of guys. Junas Corposalo making $5 million. They're offering Jeremy Swayman $1.2 million more than what the worst goalie in the league last year, who they traded for, by the way, is going to be making this year. If I'm Jeremy Swayman, they said they haven't talked to him in 3 weeks. The Bruins are standing firm on this 6-2 whatever number. I don't know. I mean, you might be headed for a pretty ugly situation here. I don't see this thing getting resolved anytime soon.
The math right now is $24.8 million, which puts him fifth among the Bruins.
So he'd be the fifth highest Bruin.
Fifth highest Bruin paid.
Okay.
But we also know that deadlines tend to increase communication, negotiation.
Sure.
Right? And I mean, we just saw it with the 49ers. Two of their best players were in contract disputes, hold-ins, hold-outs, not there. And all of a sudden, the season starts this week, and both guys will be out there when they start the season, right? Trent Williams just signed his deal. Brandon Ayuk got his done last week. So I think this is a game of chicken. That's what Nagoya. Now, the numbers are far apart. You know me. I like to just do the old-fashioned meet in the middle thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about 6 years at $7.7 million a year?
I think that's a lot more reasonable. You know, that puts you in the conversation with the Prices and the Binningtons and the Grubauers and all that. You're still not in the top three, and I think that's where he wants to be. And it's up to...
Does he deserve to be there?
Does Jeremy Swayman deserve to?
Yeah.
I mean, I think he deserves to be in the conversation, sure. He was one of the better goalies in the league last year. Was he one of the best?
Last year?
Yeah.
Has
and
he been
going
the,
forward?
Has
he
been the number one goalie yet?
Not on this team, but that I don't think was necessarily his fault. All right,
I didn't say it was his fault. I'm just saying the reality is he's asking for a franchise goalie paycheck, correct?
Mm-hmm.
When he's never really been a franchise goalie, he was their all-star goalie last year. The second half of the season, there was some question as to who the best goalie on the Bruins was.
Not for me, there wasn't.
And now they traded away Ullmark, so now he is your franchise goalie. But is he your franchise goalie?
Yes. If you trade away Ullmark, then yes.
So you're all well.
If it's just him and Korpisalo, then yes, he's the franchise goalie. 100% he is.
There, they took away their own leverage, which was a weird approach to take, especially if you were so. It's one thing if you know we know the guy's value. We're going to pay him a boatload of money. You hear that a lot. Like Justin Jefferson was one of those. I think they were very open. Like we're going to pay Justin Jefferson at the top of the market because he's the best receiver, or Patrick Mahomes back in the, like, he's the best quarterback in the league. We're going to give him a ridiculous contract. That's how it works. So you don't need leverage. If you're just going to give the guy, you know, top of market, you don't need leverage.
Nope.
Clearly, they didn't have an intention of giving him top of market.
And they can't either because they don't have enough space right now. They'd have to clear up some space even to do that. So what the best they can give him right now is 8.3, I think, is how much space total they have here. So if they want to spend every single remaining penny they have on Jeremy Swayman, and by the way, I don't think that's a terrible idea considering what their goalie situation is without him, then that's the most that they could do, and that would have him right in the Sorokin conversation right there. And by the way, I think he's better than Sorokin. I do. I think he's better than Carey Price. I think he's better than Binnington. I'd put him on the level with the Hellebucks of the world. And I think that Vasilevsky and, you know, some of these others, Shesterkin, Bobrovsky, you could say, make the argument are better than him. Fine. But they're not all getting paid appropriately in that way. And that's sort of the point, is that the market for goalies is a little topsy-turvy. You know, some guys got paid for past results. Some guys, you know, got paid for future investment and things like that. And that's what you have here with Swayman. You're paying him for what you think is going to be a good future investment. And the Bruins are just refusing to do it.
Zach
and
just told me that they have $8.6 million left.
8.6. All right. So that's the most they could possibly give him is 8.6, unless they want to start, you know, cutting guys and trying to free up space some other way. If they just want to play it by the book right now, the most they can give him is 8.6 this year. And I think that, you know, if you're talking about an investment in someone that you really believe in, then that's not outrageous. You know, it's not outrageous to give him a little sweetener and say, hey, we have big plans for you. We believe that you're going to be one of the better goalies in the league. We want you here. We want that to happen here with you in a Bruins uniform. And they are just not doing
that. Do you think this is creating a, because there's already the question about arbitration last year and hard feelings and personal.
I think the next thing here is a trade request or a trade demand.
I think that's the next step. The world,
yeah,
because he seems to be, and we had that the prior podcast from Shut Up Mike,
from Shut Up Mark,
Shut Up Mark, where he was taking a very, I went to business school, I'm taking a business approach, I know the cap and what it's doing, I know my responsibilities to future players. He was taking a very sort of agent-like approach to his own contract, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if you're taking an agent-like approach, I agree with you. I can play somewhere else. I'm not in love with the black and gold. This isn't the only place for me. If I'm taking an agent-like approach and you want to lowball me, okay, then trade me. You don't value me. You don't value me. That's fine. Maybe somebody else will. They'll pay me. It happens in sports all the time, every sport. And it does feel like that's where this is going. I would just wonder, you know, 19 days out?
Yes.
He was at captain's practice.
He was.
Which I guess is a good sign, or is not a bad sign, maybe.
Zach tells me it's individual from the team activity, so the players organized it.
No, yeah. I know, but if you were planning on being traded, you're working out with the players you're probably going to play with, or like you think are teammates. I don't know. I do think the next logical step is, but I often feel like with the 49ers and these others, sometimes, oh, Now we're under 2 weeks. Oh, now we're under 10 days. Maybe we should call him back and see if we can get this done, and maybe he's more open to getting it done.
Yeah, maybe. Anyways, it seems like they are extremely far apart right now, almost
to the
point where if it was an episode of Pawn Stars, he'd be walking home with his whatever item he brought in there. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, Patriots Monday on a Tuesday rolls on as we will react to some more things Jerod Mayo had to say this morning with the Greg Hill Show and some things we heard from Jacoby Brissett earlier.
There's sometimes, now we're under 2 weeks. Oh, now we're under 10 days. Maybe we should call him back and see if we can get this done, and maybe he's more open to getting it done.
Yeah, maybe. Anyways, it seems like they are extremely far apart right now, almost the point where if it was an episode of Pawn Stars, he'd be walking home with his whatever item he brought in there. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, Patriots Monday on a Tuesday rolls on as we will react to some more things Jerod Mayo had to say this morning with the Greg Hill Show and some things we heard from Jacoby Brissett earlier today on our show. That's all coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.